I never really started thinking about Redbirds, though, until about 10 years ago. It was after my television career, and I was working as the public relations manager at San Antonio International Airport. And I used to pray about who was going to work on our staff. So when we had an opening, I would just pray that the Lord would bring the person to me, that who I could mentor. And I would just pray fervently because I wanted to help some young woman or some young man if I could. And so one day, a woman just dropped into the airport. We happened to have an opening, and this blonde, blue-eyed female. And I thought, Lord, is this her? And so she just asked if we had an opening at the airport. And I said, well, you know, you have to go through the process. And so she had to fill out all the paperwork. And she also had to be bilingual because this person was not only my right-hand person. She would do interviews with the media when I was on vacation or off, but she also had to do all of the bilingual media interviews with the Spanish-speaking stations. And so she didn't look like she might be bilingual, but she was, and in fact, Spanish was her major in school. So she went through the process, and she ended up getting the job. So as it turned out, the reason why she came to the airport, came to San Antonio, was because her mother was ill with cancer. She had been living in Los Angeles, and she felt like she needed to come back and take care of her mom in the last couple of years of her life. And so she came back to us, and we got to know her, and I had a great time talking to Laura and mentoring her. And she, in fact, she had a group of women at the airport. She called us her nest. And we would not only help her through this very difficult situation with her mom, but we'd also give her dating advice and things like that. You know, it was fun to watch her. She was real young. And so as time wore on, things got pretty serious with her mom, and she ended up being put in hospice. And her mom said, Laura, don't worry about me. She goes, when I pass on, when you see a redbird, just think of me, because I may just come back as a redbird, and I'll comfort you. So wouldn't you know it, all those last days of her life while she was in hospice, there was a redbird, a cardinal, sitting on the ledge of her mother's room, right there the entire time. And even after she passed away, Laura would see redbirds occasionally, and she would always think of her mom. It was too much to be a coincidence. And I love it because Laura, who's been all over the country as a spokeswoman, you know, for the Transportation Security Administration, has moved back to Arlington, Texas, and she's now a spokeswoman for the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. So she's back. You know, she has one of her nest folks, you know, close by, and so I still have a chance to visit with her and be a spiritual mom to her. So that's the role I carry. So that's one redbird experience. You know, when I was in a Bible study with my husband a few years ago, there was a man in there, and I was asking actually everyone to pray for this talk because I gave it a couple of years ago in Florida. And I said, he asked what it's about, and I said, well, it's about the redbird. He goes, well, I have a redbird story. I said, well, why don't you email that to me, and I'd love to use it. And his name was Steve Martin, not the wild and crazy guy Steve Martin, but another Steve Martin. And his wife, too, was also very sick with cancer. But she loved cardinals. Steve said that she'd see a cardinal in a tree outside their house, and everybody be in the other room watching TV or something, and she'd make everybody come into the, you know, to the window to look outside and see this bird. And so, you know, it was just a common occurrence. And so when she passed away, all the family members were outside the house, and they're all gathered outside just talking. And sure enough, wouldn't you know it, there's a redbird sitting on the branch of a tree while they're out there. And he's, look. And another time when they were in Maui, the whole family was vacationing, a little redbird sat on the chair right next to where they were at. And they just knew it was her, or God telling them that she was okay. One day Steve said he was really down in the dumps. He was going to see a friend who was also very sick in Sulphur Springs, Texas. He'd gone from Dallas to Sulphur Springs, and it hadn't been too long after his wife had passed on. And sure enough, as he was going to see his friend, a redbird almost hit the car. I mean, it was right in front of the car. And it was like, at that point, he just started smiling and laughing. He thought, you know, God is just telling me it's going to be just fine. It's going to be okay. In fact, his son was just they were also amazed at all these redbird sightings, and his son named his energy company Cardinal Energy because of all the redbird sightings. So, I mean, I think there's something to it, don't you? One of the most touching redbird stories I've ever come upon was Paula D'Arcy's book. I don't know if any of you have read that. It's called The Gift of the Redbird. Now, Paula was in a car accident where both her husband and her daughter were killed. She was 3 months pregnant and did not lose the baby. So she lost part of her family, and so she had a very a difficult time, you know, getting over that. But she had to keep it together for the sake of the baby. So what she did to compensate for that and to cope with it was to work herself to death. I mean, she was a public speaker like myself. She took every speaking appearance. She was a writer. She just worked until finally she worked herself sick. She got mono, I believe, and so she was bedridden for almost a year. She had a lot of time in that bed to think about what had transpired. God was trying to slow her down. Part of what she realized is that over the last few years, that after she lost her part of her family, she had lost herself in the roles she was playing: mother, author, speaker, friend, counselor. They became her identity. And when she was stripped of all that due to the illness, she felt like nothing. She felt like nothing. She realized that she had filled some of these roles so others would approve of her. And now she sought to approve of herself and to love the person behind the roles. So after months of recovery from that disease, she finally decided that she needed a new vision. And so you know what she did? She decided to go down to Lady Lodge. Anybody familiar with Lady Lodge? It's in Lakey, Texas. It's a Baptist encampment center. And she went down there, and she decided to camp out with only bread and water, and she got a tent. And she was just in the middle of nature because she wanted just to totally take herself out of the world, and she wanted to hear God's voice. So she sat there. There's all sorts of critters running around while she was out there, if you can imagine, out in nature. But there was one little redbird that visited her every day while she was in that tent, just kind of hovered around her. And she felt that God was speaking to her through that redbird. It was like God, he never left her side. So during her time in nature, she believed God did speak to her. And he told her four things. Here's one: that all life is of God. Two, that we all have a hunger for God and must create a silence in our life to listen to him. Really difficult to do these days. Mm-hmm. I know I have trouble with that. Three, we have to replace our fear with trust before we can find God. But here was the most important message that had to do with her husband and daughter. Maybe you can relate to this. We must not cling to what we love. We are merely stewards of what we have here on earth. D'Arcy realized she was not letting go of her husband and her daughter. They belonged to God, and they were never hers to begin with. She had to let them fly free, just like the redbirds fly free. Interestingly enough, a redbird sat on D'Arcy's window ledge while she was writing the book about the redbird. She also created the Redbird Foundation. Her foundation creates spiritual learning opportunities like retreats for people in need. She's facilitated spiritual retreats in prisons and gatherings at shelters, all because God sent a redbird to her while she was there in nature. The Chippewa Indian tribe has a legend about how the redbird got its vibrant colors, and it goes like this. Raccoon passed by Wolf on a path. As was his habit, he insulted Wolf, and Wolf began to chase him. Raccoon ran to hide on a tree limb that was over a creek. Although exhausted from a day's running, Wolf pursued him. Wolf stopped to drink from the creek and saw Raccoon's reflection in the water. He dove into the water, realized the illusion, and almost drowned before he reached shore. Wolf quickly fell asleep, drained from his ordeal. raccoon saw this, slid down from the tree, and plastered Wolf's eyes shut with clay from the creek's bottom. Wolf awoke and struggled to remove the clay. He howled and he whined in frustration. Then an unattractive brown bird heard Wolf's cries, and he went to see if he could help. Wolf told him what had happened. The bird pecked and finally removed the clay. Wolf was so grateful that he asked the bird what he could do to repay him. The bird said, "It wasn't necessary." Then Wolf had an idea. He took the bird to a place where the red rock was. He painted the bird red and said he was Redbird and that his children would be born with beautiful crimson plumage. And so the boy children bear vibrant red feathers. Well, I still lean towards the Redbird being part of God's design, but it is a fun concept. A couple of years ago, during the Christmas holidays, I had my own Redbird experience. One of my best friends came to visit me at our home in Flower Mound, and I invited my prayer partner over to the house to meet her and so we could have a little prayer session. It snowed that day. Do you remember? It was so beautiful outside. It was a record snowfall for the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. After we prayed, I looked outside. Everything was covered with white snow. All the tree branches were covered with snow. Nothing was fluttering around except on one branch. I saw a beautiful red cardinal. And so, come here, and I ran to get the camera. But by the time I got the camera and I went to get the picture, I'd missed the Kodak moment. I didn't get there in time. That's why we have a photo that our pastor's husband shot for us, because he did get the red bird in their backyard. Not too long after that, I went Christmas shopping, and everywhere I looked, I just had never paid attention to it. There were red birds. You know, there was red bird dish towels, red bird figurines, more Redbird figurines. Then I saw this really cute Redbird spoon rest. And then today, Peggy Stone walks in with a Redbird sweater. So, I mean, there's Redbird stuff. Oh, I don't want to forget the Redbird box and the Redbird bags. But, you know, I just had never really paid attention to it. So I thought, I have just got to look up the Christian meaning of the Redbird. And this is what I found. The red bird is a symbol of Christ. And just like the red bird provided hope and comfort to Laura, to Steve and his family, and Paula D'Arcy, Christ is our hope. 1 Peter 1:3 talks about this hope when it says, "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." The redbird is nature's reminder for us to focus on our faith. The scarlet plumage represents the blood of Christ shed for the redemption of mankind. After we prayed, and I saw the redbird framed against all white, the cleansing Christ does for us was exactly what I thought. And I thanked God for cleansing me. Isaiah 1:18-20 says, "Come, now let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." While the cardinal is usually considered the quote-unquote redbird, the robin can count as a redbird as well. Another legend has it that the robin received its red breast from trying to remove the bloody thorns from Christ's head at the crucifixion, with a small drop of his blood falling on the bird and injuring itself in the process. It's also believed traditionally that the robin received its red feathers as it was taking water into hell for the burning sinners. Whatever the case, both these redbirds and Christ are gifts from God. God loves us so much that he provides comfort for us through through the redbird, and he also uses even other creatures for comfort. You may have another creature story. My Aunt Kathy and her husband Larry were just an amazing couple, and she lost Larry way too early. He was only 54 years old when he died of brain cancer. His illness took us all by surprise. I was only 8 years old when they first started dating. They used to take me on dates with them, and I'd sit in the back seat when they went to the drive-in movies. Had no privacy there. Nothing happened since I was in the back seat like this. But I have a vivid memory of going to those movies with them. Kathy and Larry also used to live in the same town as my college. And I'll never forget one time I lost a contact lens, and I couldn't find it anywhere. I needed a flashlight, so I always called, "Uncle Larry, I need help." And so Larry came over with his flashlight, and he came into the girls' dorm, and all the girls were getting, "Man in the locker room, man in the locker room," and he just loved it. He absolutely loved it. So I have this memory of him. Larry and Kathy, it was Kathy and Larry. One was not without the other. Both Larry's parents were alive, and they used to go dancing every Friday night. How could this happen? But it did. A year after my Uncle Larry's diagnosis, he died. And my aunt's family, thanks God, lets them know that Larry is okay through hawk sightings. That there was a hawk sitting in the tree the entire time their son got married, just sitting there, hovering. Then another time, Kathy was having some major dental surgery, and she was really sad and crying, and she thought, if only Larry had been here, been alive, he would take care of me. So her daughter came over to see if she was okay, and she, you know, went in, and she saw that her mom was crying, and she goes, "Mom, what's the matter?" I just wish Larry were here. She goes, "Mom, look what I found on the front porch." It was a hawk feather. Coincidental? I don't think so. In fact, we had a little hawk experience. My husband and I play golf, and I'll never forget, we saw a hawk regularly on the course by our house, and I was on the number 10 tee box, and this hawk was just sitting on a lady's tee marker watching me get ready to drive, and he wouldn't leave. He just sat there staring at me, and I was very unsettled. Needless to say, I did not hit a good ball off the tee. And I thought, Larry would love doing something like that. He would love. That would be so funny to him. What about you? What is your red bird? Do you have a red bird? A way that God talks to you and tells you it's going to be okay? Mine is a song. One day I was driving to Boston, Massachusetts. It's when I was doing some work for ESPN. And I was on my way to Boston from Connecticut, and I was doing a story on the Celtics. But I had a little stretch to drive, and I popped in a CD by Rod Stewart, and the song "Have I Told You Lately" came on. And I started listening to the words of that song. "Have I told you lately that I love you? Have I told you there's no one else above you? Fill my heart with gladness. Take away all my sadness. Ease my troubles. That's what you do." And I thought, that song is so spiritual. It just reminds me of God. So the entire way from Connecticut to Boston in my car, I played that song over and over and over, and I sang it at the top of my lungs to God, praising Him. Now what happened afterwards was very, very eerie. Everywhere I went after that, the grocery store, the Walgreens, a restaurant, that song would play. I kid you not, too many times to be a coincidence. I think it was God playing it back to me, telling me that He loved me too. And even today, when I go through a tough time, that song will play. My Red Bird is a song. You know, I read another incredible Redbird book while working on this talk. It's fiction, but I recommend it highly to you if you haven't read it yet. It's a wonderful book, and it's really a feel-good book. It's by Fannie Flagg. Do you remember Fannie Flagg? She was an actress, and who now writes books and does a beautiful job. Have you heard of Fried Green Tomatoes? She wrote that one. I didn't know that until I started looking her up. But anyway, this book was called Redbird Christmas. Have you read that one? Oh, you got to read it. And I'm just going to give you a quick synopsis because it really fits into what we're talking about here today, but I really want you to order it, read it, because it talks about the hope a redbird brings. The main character is Oswald T. Campbell. Oswald lives in Chicago. He's just been given some grim news that if he doesn't move south, he's gonna die because he has emphysema and he's an alcoholic, he's a smoker. He's got to go to a better climate. He needs to get over those things. So he doesn't have much money, so he just checks into some places and he finds this place down in Alabama, Lost River, Alabama. Sees an ad. And he says this place will quiet your nervous system, no matter how badly it may be wrecked. As a winter resort, the climate is all that could be desired, and the crystal spring water found everywhere cannot be beat. And he says, perfect, that's where I need to go. He calls about the place and finds out it burned down. But he did get a hold of a woman there, her name's Frances Cleverton, and Frances says, well, let me see if I can help you out. So she found out that her next door neighbor had a room that he could rent. And she goes, would that be okay? He goes, why not? Sure. It was the price was right, so he went ahead and moved down to this Lost River, Alabama. Well, when he gets there, it's a very friendly town, and they embrace him. He never had that kind of community before. He bonds with a number of the folks there, including the local grocery store owner named Roy. And Roy just happened to have a little bird that he rescued that damaged his wing. At the time when Roy rescued the bird, he didn't realize it was a redbird because it was all beat up and it was ugly. But it evolved into this beautiful red bird, and he named it Jack. And Jack had free reign of this shop. Jack just flew all around the shop, and people would come in, and he entertained the townsfolk, and in particular, he entertained Oswald. And a little girl who would come into the store, she wouldn't talk to anybody else. She was an abused little girl. She just was all tattered clothes, and you could tell that she did not come from a good home environment. Didn't talk to anybody. She talked to Jack, and she played with Jack. She's dirty, poorly dressed. But as she would come into the store every day and interact with the bird, eventually she also started talking to Roy, the shop owner. And then she started talking to Oswald. And Oswald then interacted with other people in the town. And then he decided he likes birds so much, he's going to start painting them. And for the first time in his life, he had a hobby. And he had hope for the first time in a long, long time. So Jack, the little redbird, gave the shopkeeper a friend. He gave Patsy hope, and Oswald hope. And he brought a broken relationship back together that had been damaged long ago through an eventual death. I thought, wow, here is another comparison of the redbird to Christ. Because through Christ's death, our broken relationship with God is mended, isn't it? I'm not going to tell you the rest of the story, though, because you have to get it, because I'll never forget. I was finishing it up in the car. I was picking up somebody from the airport who was coming to visit us, and I finished it up the last few pages while I was waiting on him to come to the car, and I just started booing. He gets to the car, and I was crying like this, and he's like, what in the world are you doing? I said, I just finished the book. It's amazing book. So anyway, get it. It's worth it, and it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. Every Christmas, I decorate our tree with a lot of crosses to remind me of the reason for the season. As I was taking down all the ornaments one year, I realized I had more redbird ornaments than I thought. I guess Laura had given me some, and other people, or I'd bought some, and it was just another redbird sighting for me. And I realized that maybe what I should do is display redbirds all year long, or on their own little tree. So what I did is I had a little tree, and I bought some redbird ornaments. There you see it. And I put that out for Christmas every year. And it just reminds me about what I've learned about redbirds. In fact, you know, I thought, maybe I should just keep a redbird out all year long to remind me about that. So now I see redbirds every day during the holiday season. And it just reminds me of that beautiful story. While I was looking for redbird material, I came across a redbird poem book. And I ordered it thinking I could finish with a poem. Didn't like it, so I wrote my own. So we'll finish with this. It's called Remember the Redbird. If you were a redbird, where would you go? To the house in the corner with the blanket of snow? Or would you find a family who needs a comforting sight, where hope is waning and they're tired of the fight? If you were a redbird, would you visit the home of the ill and the dying, of the ones who are alone? If you were a redbird, your beautiful scarlet plume could remind one of the sacrifice Christ made and that he rose from the tomb. The truth is, we can all be redbirds and can do it with great ease, because Jesus said, "Whatever you do for me, you do for the least of these." You can visit the hopeless, the ill, and the dying, and take time for the ones who are alone. You could contact a long-lost friend by just picking up the phone. So remember the redbird and its message of love, and share it with someone this Christmas, for it is hope from above.